whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, our YouTube feed. 94 WIP. Check it out there as we started off last night. What a fun way to start off the 5 straight days of playoff football. Notre Dame upends Penn State, down 10-0 early. Character win by Notre Dame to come back. Now, I can't believe Drew Aller threw that pass at the end. What a reckless throw by Drew Aller to throw that pass and basically hand the game to Notre Dame before it would have went to overtime at 24-24. So Notre Dame moves on. Tonight we get Texas and Ohio State. And away we go. The NFL this weekend leading to the Eagles and the Packers, 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. It's a Fox game. You hear it on WIP. We'll have countdown to kickoff starting at 1 from the link and the pregame show starting at 2. We'll all be in playoff mode as we get set for the Eagles game here. I want to dive in today to the 5 matchups I believe will determine the outcome of the Eagles and the Packers, a rematch of a game we saw week 1 down in Brazil. The 5 matchups that I believe are going to determine who wins this football game. Let's start with number 1, and I'm going to focus in on Jalen Hurts, and specifically Jalen Hurts against zone coverage, and let's focus on Devontae Smith and his role in this. So we know A.J. Brown has a knee issue right now. Left practice on Wednesday, did not practice on Thursday. Eagles are putting out a strong united front. He's fine, he's fine, he's fine. He's going to play Sunday, and I believe he's going to play Sunday. I think we'd get the information, and unless there's a big setback or he wakes up today or tomorrow and he's in a bad way, he's going to play Sunday. Okay, but will he be as effective? I don't know. Will the Packers have to shade as much coverage towards him? I don't know. Will they just decide, hey, let's just bracket a little man, see what he's doing early, and then kind of shade everything elsewhere? We'll see. I don't know how the Packers are going to handle it. Here's what I do know. The Packers, 8th in the NFL in the rate of zone coverage. That they're 8th in the NFL, top 10 in terms of zone coverage. They're going to play zone. That's what the Packers like to do with Jeff Hafley as their defensive coordinator. So to me, this comes down to Jalen Hurts and how quickly he could decipher what he is seeing, get the ball out, and get it to specifically Devontae Smith. So if Devontae Smith, of his 833 receiving yards this year, 599 were against zone. Devontae does his best work against zone coverage. I think he'll be able to create some space underneath, and it's up to Jalen Hurts to see him and throw him the football in space on time with time to run. If that's the case, Devontae's going to have a big game. But we've seen moments in the past where Jalen just is a tick late seeing it, specifically to Devontae, especially when he crosses over the middle. That's going to be vitally important on Sunday to get the ball out of his hands and get the ball to Devontae Smith against zone coverage, especially if we factor in we're probably not getting 100% A.J. This might not be the dominant A.J. Brown we are used to. I think the Packers defense will put mental pressure on Jalen Hurts to deliver the football. Now, physical pressure, that's going to be up front. That's going to be in terms of how their pass rushers, you know, Kenny Clark and all their guys up front, how they get to the quarterback. That's going to be that. Rashawn Gary, all that. But what's really going to be the key is the mental pressure they put on him, disguising things, showing him things, and then it becomes something different. Jalen Hurts needs to see it quickly, read it quickly, and get the football out. We know he might be rusty, hasn't played much football in a while, but those mental reps, Jalen's got to get that football out quickly against the zone. When he sees it, rip it, especially Devontae Smith underneath. That's number one. Number two, for me, in matchups that are going to determine this game on Sunday, Eagles and Packers, 4:25. On Sunday afternoon. I'm going to go with number two, Vic Fangio's adaptability. So Vic Fangio, by nature, is more of a zone coverage defensive coordinator than a man coverage defensive coordinator. Now, I think he's done more man this year at times than he has in the past. I think that's a lot of trust for a guy like Quinyon Mitchell, a rookie, and still a quality player here with Darius Slay, and then, you know, a very high-end young rookie, Nickel, in Cooper DeJean. So you have some trust in those guys, but primarily still the Eagles play zone. I mean, that's Vic Fangio's not going to line up and play man and get beat over the top. He's going to play zone. He's going to keep things in front of him. It's why the Eagles don't give up explosive plays. But Jordan Love, one of the best in the NFL versus zone coverage, and he's not as good against man coverage. Plus, no Christian Watson. Christian Watson is the one receiver for Green Bay that could take the top off of defense. That you might want to have that shell over top. You might want to have that zone over the top for. This feels like a game, and it reminds me a little bit of the Steeler game where he ran some man coverage out there because they didn't have George Pickens that game, and they had very little on the outside that worried you. Now, Jaden Reed is better than any of the non-George Pickens receivers with Pittsburgh. So I'm not slighting Jaden Reed. I think Jaden Reed is a really, really good football player. He's a versatile player. He's got some Deebo Samuel to him. He can come out of the backfield slot, all this stuff. He's a good player. He can cause problems on Sunday. But, you know, is he the kind of guy that you're going to change a defense for, or is he the kind of guy you're just going to account for? We'll see on Sunday. Now, I think their tight ends are pretty good with Musgrave, and Kraft has really had a big year for them, emerging as their number one tight end. So they've got some players. I mean, they're not devoid of talent. I mean, the Packers have some good players. They're going to miss Watson. But I wonder in this matchup how adaptable Vic Fangio will be. Is he going to dance what brought him and dance what has brought the Eagles here? Or is he going to adapt a little bit and say, okay, we can do all these things at a high level. Maybe we're primarily a zone team, but heck, we can do this at a high level. I mean, we are good enough to where we can absolutely at a high level play some man coverage here. And that's not what Jordan Love does particularly well. He plays better against a zone look. While the Eagles like to play a lot of zone looks, this feels like a chance for a little adaptability from Vic Fangio as we head into the biggest games of the year. That's number two. Number three is going to be composure. And this is something I saw yesterday, and I wanted to bring it up here because I think it's important. So NFL sent a memo out to all 14 teams in the playoffs about its enforcement of sportsmanship rules, a point of emphasis this season. So Perry Fuel, who's the league's senior vice president of officiating, sent a memo to head coaches and general managers of teams in the postseason on Wednesday I'm reading this from CBS Sports, to reiterate the importance of sportsmanship in the coming weeks. Quote, at this level of competitions, emotions will run high, but no amount of emotion should give way to demeaning and offensive words, taunting, or other non-football acts. Fuel wrote in a memo obtained by CBS Sports, no one wants a penalty or a player ejection to determine the outcome of a game. The NFL has ejected at least 11 players from games this season, according to CBS Sports. We know one of those was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Nick Sirianni needs to bring this up with his football team before the game on Sunday. Needs to. Not should. Not hope he does. Needs to. This is a must. The Eagles, especially on the defensive side of the football, play with a lot of emotion. They have hotheads on that side. We know it. Jalen Carter is that. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is that. He's one of those players that have been ejected from a game this year. Now, part of the issue is, you know, attitude reflects leadership. And Nick Sirianni, his attitude is just like theirs. You know, he's very emotional. They got to keep their composure on Sunday. If I'm the Packers, and I know this about the Eagles, specifically Carter and specifically Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I am poking them. I'm going to poke them to get those guys either thrown out of the game or at bare minimum, a big time penalty. This is big. The Eagles have some players here, two of their better players on the team, and Carter, you know, one of the best players in the league on the defense side of the football, that cross that line sometimes. It's good. It has to be point of emphasis for Sirianni because it's a point of emphasis for the league. I can accept if the Eagles get outplayed. I can accept if the other team has more talent. I can accept if it's physical. I can accept all those things. I can even accept a holding penalty in a big moment like James Bradbury. He's trying his best. Go back to the Super Bowl. What I can't accept is if the Eagles have a major, major bad moment because of a lack of composure. That would point back to the head coach, and that would set me off. That you can't do. And it's what's great about this right now is the memo is out there. The league knows. They're telling everyone. They don't want this. They do and they don't. You know, they want to make this a point of emphasis. They don't want it to become too much taunting and all that kind of stuff. They don't want that as part of their product. They want a more of a clean product than that. And that's fine. That's the NFL knows what they're doing in terms of drawing interest and keeping interest and getting everyone loving the game of football, especially this month. The ratings will be off the charts. Especially with a cold, cold Northeast, it's going to be off the charts, the ratings. So the NFL knows what they're doing. This is the way they want their sport run. And The memo's out there, which means this to me. They're not going to tolerate it. If you don't follow along to what they're saying, they're going to throw you out of the game. And that's got to be a point of emphasis for Sirianni immediately, as soon as this was received. I hope you did it already. All right. Point number four, matchup number four, that is going to determine the outcome of the Eagles and the Packers on Sunday. The Eagles' offensive line against the Packers' run defense. All right, so Green Bay finished this season 7th in rushing yards allowed per game and 7th in rush defense DVOA. We know back in week one, Saquon ran 24 times for 109 yards. He had the 2 touchdowns. He also had the touchdown receiving with that, you know, wheel route out of the backfield. So Saquon had a big day. You know, it was 3 touchdowns. It really started the jump on his, what I believe, an offensive player of the year season for the Philadelphia Eagles. One of the great, if not the greatest offensive season any individual player's ever had for the Eagles. But the Packers already saw it. The Packers already played against it. And you know all week they're going to be trying to shut him down. And here's the interesting part about it. The Packers' run defense has gotten better as the year has gone on. They finished 7th in DVOA and 7th in rushing yards allowed per game. But prior to week 12, they were allowing 119.6 rushing yards per game. I mean, they were getting gashed. Since week 12, only 70.4 rushing yards per game. Now, a big part of that has been the emergence of Edgerrin Cooper, their rookie linebacker, a guy that we talked about last year, potentially for the Eagles in the draft. The Eagles went the veteran route with Zach Bond, and then they, you know, they gave more of an opportunity to another young guy in the Kobe Dean. It's worked out splendidly. But you know, Cooper would have been a good draft pick as well if they went a different route in round 2 than Cooper DeJean. And Cooper's a good player. He's emerging here. He didn't play many snaps in week 1, and I think he's the big difference. He's the difference maker. And what I've noticed with him watching, because I've been watching the Packers a little bit the last couple weeks more than normal, because I had a feeling this was going to be the game, just to get a feel for how they play, who's standing out, who's not. And one thing I noticed about Cooper, he's in the backfield all the time. I mean, tons of tackles for losses. He makes a lot of plays. He shoots into the backfield. So it's going to be on the Eagles' offensive line against Edgerrin Cooper to keep this guy from making, you know, negative plays in the run game. He can do that. And maybe Saquon will be able to shake him off, but it'll probably slow him down. It'll change the perspective and change the possibility of a big explosive play. Edgerrin Cooper again, and really I say the run defense against the Eagles' O-line, but Cooper's been the story of that. The Eagles' O-line against the Packers' run defense, a big one. And then matchup number 5 that is going to determine the outcome of this football game on Sunday. I'm going to label it like this: Sirianni, Jake Elliott, and the art of decision making. So, you know, I've been critical this year of Nick Sirianni. I thought in the Falcon game, a disaster with the end of that game sequence. I thought the Saints game was way over aggressive in a game that they ended up winning, but really it could have sent their season in a tailspin if they didn't get rescued late in the game by their defense and by Saquon Barkley. Didn't like the decision maker from Sirianni in either of those football games. And then, of course, you had the Jaguar game where it felt like he left 9 points on the board, just an egregious showing for any head coach in any realm. I mean, it was remarkable what happened there in that football game. But as the season has gone on, and the less and less all of us trust Jake Elliott in a big spot of 50 or over, he's only 1 of 7 from 50 yards or over, it puts Sirianni in a pickle here as we head to Sunday and throughout the postseason. And a scenario I painted on the midday show this week was first drive of the game. It's a 4th and 3 from the 34-yard line. Packers 34. 4th and 2, 4th and 3, where it's not your tush-push zone. It is a 52-yard field goal attempt if they kick it from where they're at on that field. Are you going for it, or are you kicking? And this is, the game could come down to this. If Siri, you know, it's one of those things where damned if you do, damned if you don't, but you better be right. That's the job of a head coach. You better be right. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If Sirianni goes for it because he doesn't trust Elliott and the Eagles convert a first down and eventually score a touchdown, he's coming out looking like, you know, a genius. And they're way more likely to win the game under that scenario. If he kicks the field goal and Elliott misses it, and especially early, you might lose him for the game. He might be, you know, in a bad way mentally. And then you're playing from behind both scoreboard-wise, field position-wise, and Elliott-wise, okay? If you go for it and don't get it, if you go and you put the ball in Jalen's hands, well, then there's maybe some doubt on Jalen. Maybe there's some confidence for the Packers. Maybe Elliott has doubt in his mind. They didn't trust me from there. So there's a lot there. You know, I think Sirianni's probably going to try to avoid these scenarios as much as he can, but they're going to come up. It's one thing, you know, tie game 23-23, fourth quarter, 7 seconds to go and the ball's on the 33 and it's a 50-yarder to win the game, yeah, I mean, Jake Elliott, let's cross our fingers, go win the game. But it's these in-the-game earlier decisions, aggression versus being more conservative versus psyche of the player, both the quarterback and the kicker, and then the home crowd, because, you know, the home crowd could turn from such a big advantage to nervous energy very fast if something weird happens early in the game. Sirianni's got to have the pulse. He's got to know his kicker. He's got to see him in warmups, feel the weather, talk to the special teams coach, Michael Clay, and make sure he hits and he gets these decisions right. Sirianni, Jake Elliott, and the art of decision-making in big spots on Sunday. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. NFL picks in your feed coming up on Saturday. Enjoy a tremendous football weekend. Thank you so much for listening.